Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to the Vision Council China Tariffs Town Hall. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Ashley Mills, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for making time to join us. This is the second call we've done of this nature today alone, and so far today, I think we've been able to brief about 200 of our members from all of our divisions on this topic. So thank you again for your interest. I think you're going to find this to be a very informative call. You have your entire Vision Council team, including our internal leads, as well as our regulatory affairs and our government affairs experts. So we're going to provide the total picture for you today on how we got here, what the Vision Council is doing, exactly how you can take action, what the time frames look like, and what the perspectives are on what the outcomes here might be. So at the end, we will be able to take questions. We got several good questions at our earlier call today, so please feel free to ask anything. I mostly hope that at the end of this call you understand exactly what the Vision Council is doing, and that you have a clear understanding of the time frame for how we expect all of this to play out over the next several weeks. So with that said, I'll turn it over to Greg Chavez, who will introduce our speakers.
Thank you, Ashley. And again, thank you, everyone, for joining us this afternoon to talk about this important issue. Joining us on the call will be Rick Van Arnam, Regulatory Affairs Counsel for the Vision Council, Bill Applegate from our Brian Cave, our federal lobbying team. So again, thank you for joining us for this important call. And Rick, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Ashley, and good afternoon, Vision Council members. As Ashley said earlier, what I'm actually going to be doing is talking a little bit about what's going on and why is it we are where we are right now in this trade war with China. What's it meant for the members to date? Then I'm going to discuss what's likely to occur in the next few weeks, as well as spell out some of the remedial steps that Vision Council is planning on taking, both in its name as well as providing tools for the members so that they, if they choose to, can also participate in their own names. So let's sort of start with a historical overview of the China-U.S. trade war and how it is that it's erupted and why is it that we're now on this call today contemplating a major shift that's going to really impact Vision Council members. So back in early 2018, the United States Trade Representative's Office published the conclusions of its Section 301 investigation. Now, Section 301 is a section of the statutory law here in the United States, but it's a key enforcement tool which allows the United States to address unfair trade policies or unfair trade practices or acts being practiced by our trading partners. And in the topic of the March 2018 Section 301 investigation were some of China's policies and practices, which the report concluded unreasonably burdens U.S. commerce by forcing U.S. companies to transfer technology to Chinese partners, condones the theft of intellectual property, prevents the United States or prevents U.S. companies from unfettered access into the Chinese market. So as a result of these findings, the United States decided to take action as a means to convince the Chinese to change some of these practices which were and are, unreasonably burdensome to U.S. companies. So the first step And basically the opening salvo in the what we call the China duty wars was that back in April, after the report, after the Section 301 report was published, the administration published a list of tariff numbers. And tariff numbers are a nomenclature that's associated with products by name or by description or by use, so that when you import merchandise into the United States, you have to identify that merchandise by one of these tariff numbers. And associated with tariff numbers are tariff duties. And typically tariff duties are what we call ad valorem duties, so that it's a designated percent rate multiplied by the entered value of the merchandise subject to that duty. So what we call List 1 of the China 301 duties was the first list of tariff numbers that the United States published and said, if you're importing products that fall under these tariff numbers and these products are made in China, then those products are going to be subject to an additional 25% duty based on the entered value of those products. So this first list went live in July. So again, it was published in April. It went live in July, meaning after July 6th, goods that were imported under these tariff numbers were now subject to a 25% duty. At that time, there were some tariff numbers that were identified on the first list that touched Vision Council members. So, for example, there were some tariff numbers that were associated with certain types of optical machinery, certain ophthalmic instruments, and certain electrodiagnostic equipment. So products that fell into those tariff classifications were subject to 25% duty. Now, immediately the Chinese retaliated. And so that was the return shot. And they, in turn, chose politically sensitive export products, namely U.S. agricultural products, and associated duties on those products shipped from the United States into China. And again, in terms that hurt our farmers who saw, you know, they were losing business selling into China. As a result of that tit for tat, the United States released a second list of tariff numbers. Now, this list was published in June of 2018, and it went live in about a month later in August. Now, this list identified fewer tariff numbers. So the first list identified a little over 800 discrete tariff numbers. List 2 identified approximately 280 additional tariff numbers. List 1 covered approximately $34 billion in value of goods on an annual basis of Chinese origin coming into the United States. List 2 covered only $16 billion. However, so between List 1 and List 2, $50 billion in trade was now subject to a 25% additional customs duty if those goods were made in China and fell under one of those approximately now 1,100 designated tariff numbers. So what did the Chinese do once we published our list too? Yes, you guessed it. They published their own list too. And so that then put the ball back in our court and the administration back in July of 2018 published the intent to ratchet up the trade war by now going after an additional $200 billion in value of goods coming from China. So whereas List 1 and 2 covered $50 billion, List 3 covered $200 billion. And whereas List 1 and 2 were related to approximately 1,100 discrete tariff numbers, List 3 alone was going to attach to approximately 5,900 tariff numbers. So as you can see, the United States greatly escalated the trade war when it published List 3. Now, List 3 hit home for many Vision Council members because things such as eyeglass cases and certain lens cleaning solutions and hand and stand magnifiers, the tariff numbers associated with those products were included in this new List 3 list of tariff numbers. So List 3 went live last September. At the time it went live, the goods that were being subjected to that additional duty only were subjected to a 10% duty, not a 25% duty. However, the 25% duty was scheduled to kick in at the end of 2018. So again, 10% for the fourth quarter of 2018, graduated to 25% when the calendar changed to 2019. Go back to December of 2018, and the United States and China were actively negotiating to try to resolve this escalating trade war. And at that time, the U.S. administration said, okay, we're going to put the brakes on that escalation of the List 3 duties from 10% to 25%, and we're going to hold that in abeyance until the future. And as long as the parties are negotiating with the goal in mind to resolve this trade war, we will keep the List 3 products at 10%. So going into 2019, we had about $50 billion worth of product annually at a 25% additional duty, an additional $20 billion at an additional 10% duty, and that $250 billion combined represented about half the total value of goods coming from China on an annual basis. So that meant that half the goods have yet to be subjected to any additional duties, which was great because in that other half fell or falls those core Vision Council member products, such as optical lenses and eyeglass frames and sunglasses and reading glasses and low vision equipment. So we've been sitting here monitoring this situation with our fingers crossed that we would not have any additional escalation. However, as you all know, that escalation has occurred and continues to occur. The first escalation we saw was on a Sunday morning, President Trump tweeted out that he had learned that the Chinese had come to the bargaining table but had backed off some of the promises that they had previously made, and he immediately tweeted out that the 10% duty rate was going to go to 25%, and that occurred in early May of 2019. So as of today, all $250 billion of trade that has been subjected to China tariffs is now being assessed at a 25% ad valorem rate. However, he also published on May 17th of 2019 the intent to publish a List 4. Now, List 4 will pretty much cover all the remaining tariff numbers that have yet to be associated with an increased China tariff. So we're talking about adding in another 3,800 tariff numbers and another approximately $300 billion in imported value. But if this happens, and it's progressing that way, then those products that I recently mentioned, the lenses and the frames and the sunglasses, reading glasses and low vision, all those products will be on the table and will be most likely assessed at an additional duty representing for products when they originate in China. So the process by which the government can, in fact, increase the duty to a number at 25% or less on those List 4 products has commenced with the publishing in the Federal Register of the master list, as well as a schedule of events that have to occur between now and when that list can become promulgated and enforced. So the first thing that needs to happen is the list has to go through what's called a notice and comment period, allowing impacted parties the opportunity to comment either for or against the proposed action, meaning that you can submit comments opposing the government's proposal to identify an additional China tariff with a particular tariff number. Those who want to participate in that process, the deadline for doing so is June 17th of 2019. In addition, on that date, the government will commence most likely a multi-day hearing where parties who are interested in appearing before the U.S. Trade Rep's office and advocating their position as to why a particular product or a particular tariff number should be or not be on the final list will have an opportunity, if selected, to actually appear and make an oral presentation. And that, again, is scheduled to happen on the 17th of June. After all the comments are submitted and after the hearing has been held, then the U.S. Trade Representative's office will take all that information, review it, and reach a final decision as to which tariff numbers will remain on list four. Now, just for some, as an observation, when list three was analyzed, list three originally had over 6,000 tariff numbers identified. By the time they got through the notice and comment period, they had knocked off approximately 300 of those 6,000. So the process has to go forward. However, we're trying to guard people's optimism here based on what's happened in the past, in that few, if any, tariff numbers have been reduced from the final list. What we will also find out when the final list is finalized is whether the duty rate is going to be 25% or 10% or some other number. All we know right now, based on the publication in the Federal Register, is that the duty rate cannot exceed 25%. So it's possible they could publish a final list, but start assessing at 10% and hold back the opportunity to escalate to 25% in the future like they did with list three. So we need to wait until this process is completed to find all this out. So the real question I'm sure you're all wanting to hear an answer to is, when is that going to happen? Well, if the notice and comment period ends on June 17th and the government needs some time to synthesize and analyze all the information, what we're telling people is we assume the earliest this could go final would be the end of June. And we point to two sort of anecdotal facts to back this up. First is the fact that the G20 meeting will occur at the end of June. So it's likely that if the president is going to meet with President Xi, that he may want to have the list four develop prior to his meeting so that it would give the U.S. another bargaining chip to try to get the Chinese to back off some of the things that we've accused them of doing. The other thing we can point to was a recent statement by the Commerce Secretary Mnuchin that he anticipated these duties going into effect no earlier than 30 to 45 days. He said that last week. So, again, that would put it to the end of June. So that sort of is the history of what's happened and where we are. Now, what is Vision Council going to be doing on behalf of its members vis-a-vis this particular process? So, again, I'll let Greg hop in after I'm done here, but the Vision Council will be doing a number of things on the regulatory front. And the first is we will be participating in the notice and comment process, and we're going to be doing so in a twofold manner. One, the Vision Council, as a trade association, as your trade association, will submit written comments with the U.S. Trade Representative's office advocating a position that the tariff numbers associated with these core Vision Council member products should not be included on a final list four. Now, the thing that we will be pushing forward as our primary talking point will be the medical benefits that are attributed to use of our members' products, and try to get the U.S. Trade Rep to understand that, heck, tremendous number of people in the United States are wearing eyeglasses and sunglasses and reading glasses and using low vision, and that if you increase the duties on those products, you are likely going to be increasing the cost of those products to the consumer. And I'm hoping that the folks that hear this message will all be those who wear glasses and will understand what we're arguing there. But in any event, the Vision Council will do that at one level, as association level. We're also going to be drafting templates that individual companies can use if individual companies would also like to submit their own set of comments. And we will also walk those companies through the process for actually, you know, completing and doing the filing. So this way, the trade association will be speaking for you, but if you feel as if you need to speak for yourself, we will try to make it as easy as possible for you to do so. So that's one thing that the Vision Council will be doing. The other thing the Vision Council will be doing is we will be requesting the opportunity to be heard at those public hearings on the 17th of June. And toward that goal, we will be preparing a letter and including in that letter a summary of our proposed testimony and submitting that before the 10th of June, which is the deadline for submitting a request to be heard. And then keep our fingers crossed that we'll be selected to actually participate, in which case we'll be given 5 minutes to advocate our position, which again I think will focus on the medical benefits of our members' products. So those are that's a history of the China duty war, where we are now, what's coming up, what Vision Council is going to be doing on a regulatory front. So I think now I'm going to ask Bill Applegate to hop on and explain what the Vision Council is going to do on the congressional front. So,
thank
Bill,
you, Rick. Yep,
you're welcome.
Can you hear me? Okay, so on the congressional front, we're doing a number of things. And as early as last December, when the Vision Council's Government Relations Committee flew into Washington, D.C., we engaged several congressional offices that are active on the committees of jurisdiction that have oversight for trade issues. And so the Vision Council has been working for a while, certainly within this new administration, has been reaching out to and staying close with a number of members, leaders on the Senate Finance Subcommittee on Trade and on the House of Representatives Ways and Means Subcommittee on Trade. Some of these members of Congress have actually, through our Vision Council Congressional Tour Program, have walked through and taken a tour of TVC member facilities, very familiar with the Vision Council. And so, you know, luckily we have this cadre of individuals on Capitol Hill, House and Senate, as well as congressional staff that understand our issues. And like I said, we've been talking to them about trade for some time, hoping that it wouldn't get to this point. But here we are. So these members of Congress, a couple of them from both House and Senate, will be reaching out to USTR as well as to the Trump administration, to the White House. We want to ensure by going through Congress to make sure that our comments are delivered and understood, you know, at the administration level and within, you know, the key targeted staff that we're looking to communicate directly to within the Trump administration. The last Government Relations Committee meeting that we had in Washington, D.C. for the Vision Council, we had a senior Republican chief of staff who has been going to regular meetings twice a month with the Trump administration to sort of discuss trade and concerns from Capitol Hill and from the congressional districts and states, you know, that are represented. And so we have a few champions like that that are going to make sure that our official TVC USTR comments do get into the right places. Further, we're also working through Congress to potentially increase our chances to have a seat at the table when USTR on June 17th convenes their hearings. Again, it's 5 minutes, but between that, making sure that our testimony is in the hands of everybody, you know, the key decision makers within the administration. And as Rick said, it really does boil down to the administration, but we frequently work with Congress to, you know, convey our concerns and make sure that they're heard. Additionally, the Vision Council on June 27th is hosting a congressional staff briefing. This is something we do on a regular basis. This year, we're focusing on National Sunglasses Day, and we'll be educating congressional offices on UV protection, eye health. But in this particular instance, we're also going to use this opportunity to have our Government Relations Committee Chair, Frederick Greffel, talk directly to Hill offices about our concerns with the tariffs and hopefully get them further engaged with USTR on our behalf. So a lot of things going on in Congress. Again, the Vision Council, very active. We've been talking about trade issues with the Hill since President Trump was sworn in. And hopefully, you know, having these friends, it's always good to have friends before you need friends. And that's always sort of been the mantra of the Vision Council's Government Relations Program. And I'll turn it over to Greg.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. One other point of reference, comments are due to USTR on June 17th, correct, Rick?
Yes, June 17th.
You know, June 17th is the date that they're due. Our comments are being developed as we speak. Right now, there are about 65 comments have been added to the USTR website, so I don't want anyone to worry that the Vision Council is behind on this issue. To Rick's, you know, Rick and I have a goal of having our comments put together this week and having model letters out to our members this week as well. And again, when those letters are sent out, those model letters are sent out, we you know, encourage our members to please consider submitting letters to U.S. Trade Representative's office, and you know, feel free to work with us on that process during that process. In addition to the work that we've done with U.S. Trade Representative's office and will do with USTR, and as well as the congressional and White House side, we've also begun conversations with our allied associations, those other associations in the eye care profession. Starting the fall of last year, we began to educate them on what this is and what it means you know, for their members and ultimately for their patients. To be honest, this is an issue that is kind of outside of their typical scope that they cover, but it is something that will impact them nonetheless if this list for does come together. Last week, we hosted a similar town hall with our allied associations, again, to address this issue from a collective group perspective. We're hoping that we can have them also send letters of concern and comment to U.S. Trade Representative's office, as well as develop a joint letter that would be signed by all impacted associations on behalf of their members in the eye care community. So that's where we are on this. Aaron, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Aaron, at this point, we'd like to open it up to questions for our members.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when your line is open, and please state your name before posing your question. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one for your questions at this time, and we'll pause for just a moment. And again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one for your questions at this time. Star one. We'll pause just a moment again. And we do have a question in queue. Caller, we'll take you. Please, again, state your name before posing your question.
Scott Wilson, Rocky Mountain Eye Center. And question is, do you have lists of or more information about specific products and manufacturers that are affected this way? It's hard for us on the retail side to necessarily know all the incoming shipments and country of origin of all the products, but is there any estimates?
Well, there is a list of the tariff numbers that are impacted. I think it's safe to say that if you are purchasing anything now of Chinese origin, it is either already subject to 25% additional duty because it was on lists 1 through 3, or if it wasn't, then it will likely be on list 4. So, again, the way the lists are broken out is they're broken out by tariff numbers. If you knew which tariff numbers your goods were being imported under, you could certainly scan the list and see if it's on list 4. But as for knowing which countries your products are coming from, again, those I think are the sourcing decisions that you best ascertain from discussions with your vendors.
We'll move on to our next question. Caller, please go ahead.
Yeah, it's Marty Bassett with Wallman Optical. Hey, Greg or Ashley, is there anybody else that we could be working with in terms of other trade associations and just so that we're not duplicating the efforts? I don't know if the AOA or anybody else has any thoughts about this or if they would be helpful to us in sort of supporting the efforts that we're making.
Thanks, Marty. So we are talking with the typical optical cast of characters. Like I said earlier, this is an issue that is new to them. So there is, it's requiring some one-on-one discussions and conversations. But it is, we are talking with the groups from ophthalmology, optometry, as well as opticianry, as it relates to this particular issue.
Greg, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm still, okay. Because I think it would be of some value to us if we could engage the AOA, that at least reinforces this concept that the majority of the products that we're selling or our members are selling are medical and medically necessary. And
absolutely, Marty. We are talking directly with the AOA on this issue as well as the Academy of Ophthalmology.
Okay.
And we have been since the fall of 18.
Okay.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one for your questions at this time. We'll pause just another moment. And at this time, there are no further questions in queue.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for being a part of this call this afternoon. We appreciate your time, and thank you in advance for considering the model letter aspect or a request that we'll be sending out hopefully later this week. So thank you for your time, and please continue to come to us with questions, comments on this particular issue. And as we move forward, we'll continue to keep you, everyone, in the loop on this this topic as things continue to evolve. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.